Welcome to the Tortoise Quick Take Podcast. Thank you for joining us. Today, Tortoise provides a timely update on trending topics in the market.
Hello, I'm Matt Salee, Energy Portfolio Manager at Tortoise. There was a lot of activity in the market last week, so let's just jump right in. There were a couple of pretty noteworthy items that I'll start with before running through the deluge of earnings. First, the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals granted a stay on the district court's ruling that Dakota Access Pipeline must shut down until the Army Corps of Engineers completes a full environmental impact statement in place of the original environmental assessment, which the Corps performed during the pipeline's construction 3 years ago. This means the pipeline can stay in operation during the appeals process unless the Army Corps determines otherwise. I've spent about 5 hours reading various legal experts' summaries detailing the different rulings, challenges, orders, requests, etc. that this case can take from here, and I think it'd be irresponsible for me to provide an opinion on what's going to happen. Suffice it to say, DAPL is clearly far from out of the woods, despite a short-term win. Meanwhile, across the pond, BP's new CEO, Bernard Looney, continues to push full speed ahead in its transition from independent oil company to independent energy company. With its quarterly earnings, the company will bolster its balance sheet and investment flexibility by cutting its dividend 50%, and they put real teeth behind their net zero aspirations. Highlights include no oil exploration in new countries while forecasting a 40% reduction in hydrocarbon production by 2030. Within 10 years, they will increase low-carbon investment tenfold to $5 billion per year. This level of investment will lead to 50 gigawatts of renewables developed, 20 times their current level. Along with this, they will roll out over 70,000 EV charge points. Beyond electrons, they plan to invest in low-carbon molecules with greater energy density, first growing their annual natural gas sales to 25 million tons per annum, building an LNG portfolio of at least 30 million tons per annum, reaching 100,000 barrels per day of biofuels production, and finally achieving a 10% market share in hydrogen, which they will produce using natural gas combined with carbon sequestration and with wind and solar power when supply exceeds demand. Shifting gears a bit, we've talked about our playbook for midstream management in the past. This is basically our open letter to engage with management teams of our portfolio companies to achieve better equity returns through capital discipline, returning capital to equity owners, balance sheet strength, and embracing ESG. We've observed some notable progress over the last few quarters, and most recently, we've seen inaugural sustainability reports from both Enterprise Products and Equitrans Midstream. These are a couple of the few remaining midstream companies in our portfolio who had not issued a sustainability report already. I thought EPD's report was particularly good, so I'll hit a couple of highlights. Enterprise is the single largest exporter of liquefied propane gas, or LPG, and Chinese LPG demand nearly doubled between 2014 and 2019, primarily driven by domestic heating and cooking demand, because in many urban areas, coal stoves were outlawed in favor of LPG to improve air quality. In India, the second largest LPG importer, over 200 million LPG bottles are now in circulation, allowing the rural population to sharply reduce solid fuels like coal and wood as a cooking fuel, which, according to the World Health Organization, is one of the greatest health threats to children in developing markets today. Thanks to access to cheap and low-carbon LPG and gas, China and India have achieved over 50% improvement in their Human Development Index since 1990, according to the World Bank. The services that Enterprise provides are truly making the world a better place today. The ethane they process, fractionate, and transport are the building blocks for the plastics that represent 15% of the material that goes into wind turbines. Not to mention, it's the primary component in much of the personal protective equipment, playing a key role in everyday life in 2020. In terms of renewable energy, EPD already has over 16,000 solar-powered monitoring stations across its network, and the company got 17% of its electricity from wind and solar in 2019. Speaking of renewable energy, Williams held their Q2 earnings call last week. While the results beat estimates and they seem to be comfortably within full-year guidance, what I thought was most interesting was their comments on new energies. First, they already have several projects bringing renewable natural gas into the existing pipeline network from dairy farms and landfills. They're also researching hydrogen and the potential to use the Transco pipeline system to deliver it into New York, where decarbonized energy is a major focus. On this point, they view themselves as best positioned to provide this energy given their existing last-mile connectivity, which I think we can safely say will never be replicated based off recent challenges building new pipeline infrastructure. Finally, they're making investments across their assets to power the system with renewables. Beyond this, they see solar as a future revenue driver and are investing between $200 and $400 million in solar projects over the next few years. I'll wrap up the earnings as we're largely complete at this point. Overall, earnings came in about 5% over expectations, which was roughly flat year over year, shockingly, and down only slightly sequentially. In total, we had 18 midstream companies beat earnings, only four miss, with the balance in line. All things considered, not too shabby for an asset class that's still down 35% year to date. We did make up 6% last week, outperforming the S&P by a healthy margin. Well, I'll leave it there for now. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us, and stay tuned for our next cast. Have topics you want covered or other feedback to share? Write us at info@tortoiseadvisors.com. Nothing contained in this communication constitutes tax, legal, or investment advice. Investors must consult their tax advisor or legal counsel for advice and information concerning their particular situation. This podcast contains certain statements that may include forward-looking statements. All statements other than statements of historical fact included herein are forward-looking statements. Although Tortoise believes that the expectations reflected in these forward-looking statements are reasonable, they do involve assumptions, risks, and uncertainties, and these expectations may prove to be incorrect. Actual events could differ materially from those anticipated in these forward-looking statements as a result of a variety of factors. You should not place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements. This podcast reflects our views and opinions as of the date herein, which are subject to change at any time based on market and other conditions. We disclaim any responsibility to update these views. These views should not be relied on as investment advice or an indication of trading intention. Discussion or analysis of any specific company-related news or investment sectors are meant primarily as a result of recent newsworthy events surrounding those companies or by way of providing updates on certain sectors of the market. Tortoise, through its family of registered investment advisors, does provide investment advice to Tortoise-related funds and others that includes investment into those sectors or companies discussed in these podcasts. As a result, Tortoise does stand to beneficially profit from any rise in value from many of the companies mentioned herein, including companies within the investment sectors broadly discussed.